Welcome, everyone, to week 11 of the fantasy football season. It is time for Waiver Wired. We are here to help get you ready to dominate your fantasy football playoffs because that's the season. I'm your host, Jen Piacenti, and with me, as always, is Eddie Spaghetti. And you may notice we have a very special guest if you're watching this live. It is Lawrence Jackson Jr. I am super, super excited about our show today, guys. Because first of all, this is the first time I'm actually even virtually meeting the fantasy football lord. And for real, like, he's earned that name. And I'm excited about it because I'm not sure that there's anybody in the industry that speaks as clearly and directly and preaches the truth as Lawrence. So that's why I'm here. And maybe this is like a totally ridiculous thing to say, but I decided I loved Lawrence when we were in a draft together and he kept sniping me. So it was like a love-hate thing. I was like, he's taking all my players. And then I was like, oh, that guy must be really smart, which is probably a totally narcissistic thing to think that I think you're smart because you think like me.
Well, you got me a couple of times too. So I was like, oh man.
That's a fun league. So we're going to talk about that. Well, let's just hit some quick news headlines. Eddie, chime in here. Did we get any new news recently other than what we were going to talk about?
I think that today's news, Kyler, he said he's inching towards playing. It seems like we have the Joe Flacco starting for the Jets news. The Detroit Lions may have a backup quarterback playing for them. So that's pretty much all the news for the day.
Yeah. Tim Boyle taking first reps, it looks like, instead of Jared Goff, who's apparently out with an oblique injury. Robert Woods, went out since we last did our podcast. Cordarrelle Patterson now a game time decision. Is this guy human? Lawrence, what do you think about Cordarrelle Patterson?
I was just thinking, man, when I saw this earlier that he was a game time decision. I was like, who is this, Wolverine or something? Like, because when the injury happened, they was talking like 3 to 4 weeks or something like that. So even if he does miss this game, it puts in play that he could return like the next week. And it just got like, I mean, hell, they need him. They need him bad. Because as we know, behind him, or I guess it's a committee or what you call it, but we know Cordarrelle Patterson is the man on the Falcons. And if they don't have him, then it's going to be much left to be desired at the running back position.
For sure. Actually, let's talk about that since we're on the subject. I don't know if this happens to you, but I get these questions all the time from people about whether or not they should start Mike Davis. And I want to be like, why are you even asking this question? Like, why would you start Mike Davis? I don't get it. And I look at the game on Sunday and he's being out-touched by Wayne Gallman. Not exactly exciting. What do you think is going to happen here in this situation? Do you think that Gallman is going to take over the backfield from Mike Davis? And then, of course, obviously it's Cordarrelle Patterson's gig. But if he's not there, or who's going to back up Cordarrelle Patterson?
So if Cordarrelle Patterson doesn't play, I'm still not going to trust either of the Falcons running backs. Now, Wayne Gallman came in there and he did. He got carries early. A lot of people, if you didn't watch the game, you see the blowout. You see the 15 carries by Gallman. You might think, oh, he got in at the end. But no, no, no. All three backs were rotating and Mike Davis just ended up being the guy who only had 4 carries in the game. But as I was saying, is if Cordarrelle Patterson does not play, I can't trust either one of them, especially versus the Patriots defense, who's hitting on all cylinders. Now, Wayne Gallman did look a lot more explosive than said Mike Davis. And like you just said, I don't know why anyone would start Mike Davis at this point. In fact, I, until this past week, week 10, was the first time I said it, hey, maybe you should throw him into the flex, maybe. And then I realized why I haven't been saying that the first 9 weeks. So, I'm off that. If Cordarrelle Patterson plays, he's the man. If he doesn't, I'm off of any of those running backs. You don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, if you guys don't follow the Fantasy Football Lord, Lawrence, you need to follow him right now. And also, he is at NBC Sports Edge, and he does these incredible TikToks. Your Instagram is also Lord Don't Lose, right?
Right. Yeah. Every social media at Lord Don't Lose.
Yes. Every social media is at Lord Don't Lose. It is phenomenal. Your videos are phenomenal. I love them. And speaking of those, I want to talk about Cam Newton. Now, it says that he is trending towards starting this Sunday. I like him as a pickup on the waiver wire for a lot of people. I think his schedule moving forward is really favorable. He's got a couple matchups with the Bucks, Miami, and then, of course, this weekend versus Washington football team, which is also versus his former coach, interestingly. Washington football team surrendering, you know, allowing tons of points to opposing quarterbacks and wide receivers. Everything looks good. I know there's concern about Cam's shoulder, but, you know, I think he can hit DJ Moore. He can hit Christian McCaffrey over the middle. What is your take on Cam Newton? Do you like it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. First off, I'm just happy he getting another shot. And quite frankly, this is the group that he'll be playing with as far as offensive weapons goes. This is the best he's ever had, even if you include the year he won MVP and went to the Super Bowl. You got an elite running back in Christian McCaffrey. You have a receiver in DJ Moore who was on the rise. He kind of slowed down, but he slowed down as Sam Darnold started to crumble. We saw Robbie Anderson have a career year in 2020, and he just disappeared this season. You saw him screaming at Sam Darnold in week 9. So now that Cam is back in the fold, even without playing, just him being in the room again is going to rejuvenate that team. It's going to rejuvenate the offense. We saw him on the sideline leading the team in the breakdown or whatever. As far as on the field goes, and you mentioned the matchups he has, he also has another match with the Falcons in there as well. So it looks good. As soon as they said he was meeting up with him, I went to my Superflex league. I picked him up before they even played the game, because he was a free agent and everywhere, you know. So I like it going forward for him. The rushing upside, obviously, is going to be a big thing. You get him right there near that goal line, and that's damn near money. So I like it a lot.
Yeah, I dig it too. I like your take on Robbie Anderson. So I have Robbie Anderson in one league. It's my Sports Illustrated league, and I didn't start him last week, of course. It was the first week I didn't start him. I finally got fed up enough, and of course, he was great on my bench. That's how it works in fantasy football. Mm-hmm. But I got encouraged. I thought, I don't know, maybe because Robbie Anderson was fantastic last year, like you said, with Teddy Bridgewater, who's, you know, a good quarterback, a very competent, good quarterback, but he's not What'd you say?
People ain't trying to hear that, though.
I know they are. I actually really like Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's got like the second best or third best completion rate on the season. And Teddy B is so underrated. I'm actually really not sure why they let him walk and decided to go with Sam Darnold, but that's obviously a whole other conversation. Yeah. So I'm thinking that I know people talk about Cam's shoulder and all that business, but I can't see Robbie Anderson getting any worse.
Exactly. Did you you see them in the post game presser? He's there with Cam Newton. Cam Newton pull out his phone and take a selfie with Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson can't stop smiling. He just so happy that Cam Newton is there. He was loving it. He was like, "Yes, we needed this." His exact words: "We needed this 1,000%." So he ready to go.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I hope it helps, because it would be amazing if Robbie Anderson comes to light down the wire for your fantasy playoffs. And he's available on a whole lot of waiver wires because people got frustrated and cut him, which I can't blame them for. Yeah, like,
can't blame him.
You had to do it. But if you still happen to have him, or if you're able to pick him up, who knows? It could be a really good dart to throw, is my thing. If you have Fab and you want to pick him up and you can at least put him on your bench, I would 100% do that. Let me ask you this. Would you rather have Robbie Anderson, or we love to play this game on this episode, on this podcast, Allen Robinson?
I'm going to go Allen Robinson.
You'd go Allen Robinson because Darnell Mooney's got, I mean, sorry, not Darnell. Justin Fields looking better.
Right, and that's exactly why. Because first off, we're going to take this how I see it. Who's the better player? It's Allen Robinson.
Right.
I might have felt different a few weeks ago, but like you just said, Justin Fields is coming along. He had his best by far passing performance versus the Steelers, and that's a good defense, and he had him on the brink of victory, if not for 97 penalties in the game. You know what I'm saying? So that, like, if you ask me that question right now, I feel a lot better taking Allen Robinson over Robbie Anderson right now, for sure. And, you know, Allen Robinson is supposed to be the wide receiver one on your team. Right. Hell, that's what he is. It just hasn't worked out this year. Robbie Anderson never has been that, never really going to be that. He could be an excellent wide receiver too.
That's a really good point. Justin Fields now finished 2 weeks in a row as a top 10 quarterback, top five a week before the bye. He's rested. I like this matchup with Baltimore Ravens. Actually, they've surrendered the 11th most points to opposing quarterbacks. We saw what happened to them on Thursday. And I don't think they're always going to be that bad, but I'm kind of encouraged by Justin Fields, and that makes me feel better about Allen Robinson. And now I feel better about Robbie Anderson. And these are two players that have been, I don't know, really troublesome to me throughout the season. So I'm hopeful that they're both headed in the right direction.
I just got an offer for Allen Robinson. So that's how I know he's trending upward. Somebody tried to trade him away from me.
In a redraft league or in a dynasty league?
Redraft. Yeah.
I love him. Okay. So one more question I want to ask you about OBJ, what are your expectations for him going forward? I mean, like what happened on Monday, I think if you actually started OBJ on Monday and were expecting a big game, then that was just dumb because that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Some people probably had to start him.
Yes. But
like you said, you shouldn't have expected much. Now, it looked good in the beginning because they found him 2 catches for 18 yards in the first quarter. And then that ended up being, you know, all he did in the game, but they get the bye. He'll get into the offense a little more. That should help him out.
I mean, there was that whole, you know, scandal, if you will, of Troy Aikman saying that maybe OBJ's presence is freaking out Matt Stafford and it is causing like, you know, dissent in the locker room and
We all saw that on Twitter, right? It's crazy they said that because Stafford threw the ball 41 times and Odell Beckham got 3 of those targets. 3. So I don't know how distracted Matthew Stafford, he was distracted by the opposing team's defensive line. That's what he was distracted by because he was throwing it all over the place. That was his distraction. It wasn't Odell. Like if you ready to drop the hammer on Odell after one game, That's just crazy. Like I said, let him get into the bye week. He just showed up 2 hours ago.
I know.
So he'll be all right. With before Robert Woods suffered his unfortunate injury, I felt like OBJ could play himself into a flex play type of player. Now I feel like, you know, he could turn that into some wide receiver 2 action just based on the offense that he's in. It's not run based like Cleveland. Now he does have to click with the quarterback, but I don't think he'll have a problem with that because I think most of us believe that Matthew Stafford's a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. Is that how we feel, right?
I'm pretty sure that is a unanimous feeling. Although, I don't know, there are still Baker truthers out there.
Baker truthers better learn the truth. I don't know if they watch this past game against the Patriots, but what do I know?
I know. I'm telling you, I have been off. I don't know. Like, if you know me, for those of you who followed me on social media for a while, you know that I cannot stand Baker Mayfield. I can't stand him. I would never have him on my team. I would never even put him in a DFS lineup. So, and no, it wasn't OBJ that was making Baker suck. He just sucks. So sorry, Browns fans.
Is what it is. Hey, OBJ may never recapture what he was in New York, but Baker Mayfield is about to soon find out that he wasn't the problem for that.
Yeah, I agree. Did you lose Robert Woods anywhere?
No.
I did.
Yeah, it's man.
One of which is the GST.
He was just coming along.
I know. I lost him in GST, and I took the loss this week by like fractions of points. It was just I lost Derrick Henry and Robert Woods in that league.
Hit! Oh my god!
Yeah.
Look, are you still in first place?
No, I fell to second place. I know.
You get it together.
Yeah, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine. We're gonna be fine. Dak is coming through for me. So I don't know. Cross a lot of fingers.
It'll be just as good or better in week 11 versus the Chiefs.
Oh, looking forward to that so much as a Cowboys fan, especially.
They won't have to leave. He won't leave the game as early, probably.
Yeah, hopefully, because that did cost a few points for everybody when the starters go out of the game. Obviously, they got too big of a lead.
Yeah.
So speaking of playoffs, we're headed there. And hopefully if you're listening to this podcast right now, you're headed there too, or you're trying to get there and you are fighting. And that's what we're here to help you do. So I asked Lawrence to help me pinpoint some players that we think will really help teams down the stretch into the fantasy football playoffs. And maybe these are even players that you can trade for. I know a lot of trade deadlines are approaching. So it is something that you need to think about what schedule is coming forward, because as you get into those later weeks, you don't want to just like kind of be like, oh no, now I have nobody because these matchups are terrible and there's a bye week and blah, 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 blah. So help us out. Who you got?
So at the running back position, I think when Kareem Hunt comes back from his injury, he'll provide a big spark for fantasy rosters everywhere. He was RB9 in PPR scoring before he went out. Now, some of the matches that he'll have down the stretch include some tough defenses like Green Bay and Pittsburgh. However, when him and Nick Chubb are together, Kareem Hunt is at his best. We saw him in a game this season without Nick Chubb, and it didn't go as well. But when those two are working together, he is at his absolute best. And I think if you were able to trade for him while he was hurt, that'll pay off. Or if you held off on that and held on to him, it'll pay off for you as well. Also, Javonte Williams. Now, everybody's like, free Javonte Williams of Melvin Gordon. But no, this is a great thing. The committee is a great thing, first off, for the Denver Broncos team, right? Yeah. Melvin Gordon's RB15. Javonte Williams is running back 25. But the thing is, Javonte Williams is really starting to show what he thought we could be recently versus the year Cowboys. Unfortunately, he ran wild all over them. And as they get down the stretch, they got matchups that include Kansas City and Detroit. So those are some times when he could, you know, he could turn up a little bit. You know, as the season gets closer to the end, they start leaning on those younger guys a little more. And so those are a couple of guys on the running back end that I think could help us down the stretch.
That's a great point. That's what happened last year with both Cam Akers and Jonathan Taylor. You saw the team really start to lean on them. And for those that held on to Cam Akers, it really, really paid off. So I love that. I also love that you mentioned that Green Bay's defense has been really good this year. I was just checking it out. Past the last three games, I think they've allowed an average of 13.3 points scored. And that's hard to reset, because last year we were targeting them all the time, like running backs versus Green Bay and blah, blah, blah. They've actually been really, really strong this year. So it's not an easy matchup when someone's playing Green Bay this year. And that's something to reset. Kind of hard to do.
Like, who was it against too? Like Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray. So it wasn't against just chumps, you know?
Yeah. They are becoming a real defense.
We gonna talk a couple of receivers, or
let's do receivers.
Couple of receivers. All right. So I like T. Higgins down the stretch. I like him big time. The Bengals are ninth in total yards in passing as we enter week 11. What most people don't know is that on a per game basis, T. Higgins actually averages more targets per game than Ja'Marr Chase. So it's really, they both average over 8 targets a game. T. Higgins at 8.5 targets a game. He's got matchups versus KC 2 times against Baltimore. And they already played Baltimore, but they got Baltimore coming up again. And we saw what they did the last time that they played against Baltimore. And speaking of Baltimore, I like Rashad Bateman.
Me too.
Going forward. I actually like him a lot. It would be cool if, you know, they let him start the game instead of my boy Sammy Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
But he's another one. He's, since he's entered the league, but since he's come back from his injury, he's been able to play. He's averaged 7 targets. And you see at the end of the last game where they were getting smoked by the Dolphins, he got it going at the end. If they can involve him earlier like they should, then I see big things for him coming as well.
I like that too. And he's still available on like 50% of waiver wires. So you might even be able to just put in a claim and grab him. I love Rashad Bateman. Let me ask you this. Right now, the Ravens are obviously the favorites to win the AFC North. But the Browns and the Bengals, last I checked, were both plus 500 to win the division. Who would you take if you were taking an underdog?
Are we including the Steelers in this too?
You can include the Steelers too.
If I wasn't going to take the Ravens, I would take the Bengals.
You would, me too.
Yeah, I would take the Bengals. It's hard for me to just picture, especially right now, unless the Browns could really turn it around, it's hard for me to picture them right in their current state making it to the playoffs again. And since the Bengals already beat the Ravens and they know they could do that, and convincingly, if I had to take another team, it would be them.
Do you have any concerns about the Ravens team after Thursday night? Like, you have concerns
certainly
about Lamar?
Certainly. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, and you know me, I will talk about Lamar Jackson until the wheels fall off. But when he's leading in offense, you have to score more than 10 points. We can blame the defense, right? But you got to figure, we know their defense isn't good. So for them to give up 22 points, the Ravens, you got to win that game. You got to adjust to them running 0 blitz. You know what I'm saying? Because now teams are going to do that until he starts eating that up, which I think he will. But Lamar in the offense will be fine, but can the defense play well at the same time is the question. They almost lost to the Vikings a week before.
Right.
Because the defense gave up, you know, 31 points. So,
yeah, 3 double-digit comebacks this year. That is phenomenal, but Lamar shouldn't always be in that situation. And right. I think we were all hoping for it Thursday. We're like, oh, this is going to be another double-digit comeback. But It did not look
I didn't even think he was going to be in a position to have to come back.
I know. That's what I thought too. I was like, no problem. I'm laying the points here, taking the Ravens. There's no issue. What about the Chiefs? Did you like what you saw? Like, do you think that they're kind of on the right path again? Because I have been so frustrated with them this year. I've never been a huge Chiefs fan like everybody else. But, you know, are they back?
It's over for everybody else now. They should have buried them when they had the chance. Raiders, you had the chance to really mess up their morale. Now all of a sudden they're 6-4 again. The Chargers just lost, right? You just beat the Raiders. The Broncos just lost. A few weeks ago, it was looking like that division could be up for grabs. But the Raiders came into that game as a top 10 defense against receivers in fantasy. And we saw how that ended. Like, teams had a chance to shut the door on this team. Now 6-4 to them, they're feeling good. So it's definitely going to be an interesting game with them and the Cowboys, because I feel like the Cowboys, even though they've only got 2 losses, they got to feel like, yo, if we win this game, like, it's like people will really take us serious now, even though you should have already been taking the Cowboys serious. But now the Chiefs need it because they need to, you know, keep their record good, you know. But it means a lot to both of these teams. So that's definitely the game of the week.
It's definitely the game of the week. It's got the highest points total. I'm sure it will do something crazy that we don't expect. Like, one team's going to get blanked because that's what's been going on the last couple weeks.
Nothing's made anything. Please don't let that happen. Please don't let that happen.
I know, Ryan. Don't let that happen. Who do you think? So Kansas City's favored, I think, last I checked, by 2.5 points. Who do you think? Who in your gut? Who do you think takes it?
That's Kansas City at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like because Kansas City needed more, they're going to step up to the plate. They're going to step up to the plate and win that game.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be one who says, but I wouldn't be surprised if, because clearly we wouldn't be surprised whoever wins the game. So if, but I'm going to pick the Chiefs, because if the Cowboys win, like, I don't see how, you know, who would be a better team in the league than them right now? Maybe like Cardinals.
Would you say Arizona?
Probably. Cause they missed Kyler Murray.
Right.
This past week. I don't know if there's a team better. I'm not going to hold too much weight on the Cowboys getting ran over by the Broncos, because every team at this point, that's happened to every team at this point. So
right.
If the Cowboys do pull out the victory, I don't see how you don't say they're the best team in the NFL.
I think this is the right time to wrap this up, because you just said exactly what I want to hear as a Cowboys fan. If they beat the Chiefs, we need to say that they are the best team in the NFL. I would love to believe that, but it has been really exciting to watch the Cowboys this year. I mean, the takeaways, you know, Trevon Diggs, I mean, the Diggs brothers in general, like, hey, that's a good gene pool there, I think. So congratulations.
I wish I was their brother.
Right. I mean, me too. Sorry to any of my four brothers that just heard that. I'm happy to be in the
family. They ain't going to hate. They ain't going to hate.
They aren't going to hate. They're going to totally be like, yeah, Jen, you'd be better off as a Diggs. Okay, everybody, please follow Lawrence at Lord Don't Lose. Thank you so much for coming to chat with us. It was awesome, as always. For real, you guys, he writes for NBC Sports Edge, and you got to follow his Instagram, because he's putting out videos all the time that are just like spitting truth and just make it so simple, because we talk ourselves out of things. Like you said, I'm not going to be one of those people that says, but I wouldn't be surprised if, no, just don't. And that's how you win your leagues. You just make decisions and you just stick by them. You don't waffle. You just like, you make a decision and go with it.
What's the worst that could happen? Everybody take a L, you know?
That's right. That's totally right. And you got to like commit to yourself. So thank you so much for joining us. Have an amazing week. I hope you come back and visit us sometime.
You too. Definitely appreciate it.
Thank you. That was Lawrence Jackson Jr. from NBC Sports Edge. Give him a follow at Lord Don't Lose on Twitter and on Instagram. He also does a lot of TikTok. So anyway, one of my favorite people, I just think he speaks it as it is, as I've said multiple times. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after this quick break. Eddie, let's talk about playoffs.
Let's do it.
How are your teams, and are you going to the playoffs?
I am. I'm very happy in my main league. I'm 7-3. I've been lucky. You know, sometimes you play those teams that have a bunch of injuries or bye weeks. Just they're not scoring points. And my team was just getting by. So I've had a couple easy weeks in a row. I do have a couple questions, two questions with two players that kind of revolve around my team. First one, start with the quarterback here, Mac Jones. So Mac Jones obviously drafted 15th overall. Probably, you could argue, the least amount of buzz out of any of the rookie quarterbacks. Going to a team with a strange group of receivers. They traded away their best running back to the Rams. Like, you know, they're big free agent signings. We're signing two tight ends. And credit to Hunter Henry. He's been pretty good this year. But it wasn't really a very inspiring offense. But he's been playing great, especially last week. I know they have a couple of tough games coming up here. But Mac Jones, like going forward, is it time to just be like, he actually is really good and he's going to be a valuable fantasy quarterback going forward? Do you buy into it yet?
I am buying it. I think he's putting on a rookie of the year campaign. Now, here's the thing. I don't think you get like a huge ceiling from Mac Jones, right? He doesn't give you any rushing upside whatsoever. And what he does is basically he's a perfect fit in the Josh McDaniels offense. So like, yeah, he threw for 3 touchdowns last week, but only 198 yards, but a ridiculous 82.6% completion rate. So the guy is definitely trending in the right direction, and it helps that his defense is so good too, right? They're allowing what, 12.3 points per game across the last 3 games. That's sick. Totally sick. So they're in the right position, and they have a good matchup with Atlanta this week. So I do think that Jones is someone that we can buy into that's going to give us a decent floor. I don't think he's ever going to be someone like, say, Cam Newton. Cam Newton is someone that could give you a little more in the fantasy world from week to week, right? Because he's going to do the rushing touchdowns. He's got bigger playmakers. Like you said, far better weapons around him. You know, DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, all of these people that can help him out. So yeah, I like Mac Jones, and I think he is someone you can probably, I'm actually starting him in a league this week because I have no Matt Stafford.
I'm the same exact scenario, no Stafford for me in one league, so I'm starting Mac Jones. Keeping with the Joneses here, I made a nice little trade, handcuffed Aaron Jones with AJ Dillon, and Dillon was a guy coming to the league from Boston College. I mean, he's a load. He's probably close to 250 pounds. People thought third down, short yardage back, goal line back, you know, could vulture some touchdowns. But he had a ton of carries, over 20 carries last game. Not going to catch the ball as much as Aaron Jones will. But do you see AJ Dillon, if let's just say Aaron Jones is out for 2 weeks, which it seems like he may be, you know, who knows, hopefully shorter. But do you see AJ Dillon keeping that up? But he's going to be good because of the amount of carries, or do you see maybe his role expanding in the passing game at all? But how do you think Rodgers and company will use Dillon in offense?
I think he probably will expand in the passing game. There have been one or two games where he has been used a lot as a receiver. Unfortunately, it's only been one or two games. So you're like, where's the consistency here? But they haven't needed it because they have Devontae Adams, they have Aaron Jones, et cetera, et cetera. But I think, I mean, did you see his little fire turn on when Aaron Jones went out and he was like, oh my God, I get to this, like the understudy going on, you know, you're like, Sutton Foster and like, you know, the woman who was originally supposed to be Thoroughly Modern Millie. I know you guys all love when I do Broadway references. It really applies to all you fantasy football fans. But, you know, Sutton Foster was the understudy. She came on. She defined that role. She became a star, right? That was the light in AJ Dillon's eyes in that game. I saw him. He was like, oh man, I get it all to myself. He was amazing. And he's really talented. I like him a lot. I think he has top 5 RB upside for the next couple of weeks. Of course, it's Aaron Jones' job. But remember, in Green Bay, they've always been kind of frustrating because they do split that backfield a little more than it seems like they need to. Like Aaron Jones could handle a bigger load. But they used to do this with Jamal Williams too, you know? So there's room for AJ Dillon. I think he's a great ad. I think it's fantastic you have him. You never know. It could end up being the rest of the season that he's the guy. We don't really know what's going on with Aaron Jones. Now, in the past, when he's had this similar injury, he hasn't been down that long. He's a pretty tough guy. But you just never know. So I think AJ Dillon's great. Plus, they may just take it a little easier on Aaron Jones. As Lawrence said, you know, a lot of times we lean on the younger players as we go down the stretch, and that may be what Green Bay does, especially going into the playoffs, which they'll certainly be going into.
That's great. That's music to my ears. I'm glad I made the trade for him. And I do think he'll have a pretty nice stretch here too with AJ Dillon.
Yeah, I think so too. I'll just run quickly through waiver wire in case you're missing some Rams. There's not a lot of teams on bye this week. So the only reason to do most of the reason to do waiver wire this week is to just kind of build that depth, because you never know when like COVID's going to strike and you're suddenly going to be without, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger or whoever. Hopefully you're not rostering Roethlisberger and trying to win, but you know what I'm saying. So quickly, quarterbacks to take a look for this Sunday: Cam Newton, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones, all with great matchups and all of whom are available on the waiver wire in most leagues. So there's one. Donta Foreman is someone you want to take a look at. He actually got the bulk of the rushes for Tennessee and he looked the best. A simple eye test said he looked the best for Tennessee. Houston is such a soft matchup and you may just want to have him going forward because, you know, you can't replace Derrick Henry, but maybe it's your best shot. Wayne Gallman is one. If you need a running back, that could be an option. He's going to be free everywhere. You can just stash him on your bench. Ramondre Stevenson total beast mode on Sunday. Got a lot of opportunity. Now, Damian Harris is going to be back, and we know how Bill Belichick is, but I think Stevenson is too talented to leave on your wire, and I think he can be a flex play. Ty Johnson is someone you may want to stash in deeper leagues. Jamal Agnew continues to be the number one targeted wide receiver in Jacksonville, not the number one targeted player, because that's actually Dan Arnold. If you're looking for a tight end, Dan Arnold has had double-digit PPR points in 4 of his last 5 games, so you can definitely take a flyer there. Jamal Agnew, though he didn't catch any of his 5 targets, he had trouble connecting with Lawrence. He had, I believe, 78 rushing yards and a touchdown, so he is basically the guy we all hoped LaVisca Chenault would be, and then that just didn't work out for LaVisca Chenault, so he's kind of a secret weapon over there. Bryan Edwards, I love the way he looked in some of those big moments for the Las Vegas Raiders. They're still looking for their, you know, deep threat with no Henry Ruggs. And DeSean Jackson, you know, didn't have a great audition in his first outing. One catch, one major fumble. So bad news there. But, you know, maybe he'll get better. Robbie Anderson, we talked about. And Cole Kmet is another tight end that everyone should take a look at. He has seen 18% of Chicago's targets while playing 85% of the snaps. And that's what you're looking for when you're looking for a tight end. You're looking for opportunity. You're looking for a floor. And he does seem to be one of Justin Fields' favorite targets. And Justin Fields looks like maybe he's finally starting to get into a groove. I think David Montgomery coming back helps that a little bit. Just helps the team's identity a little bit. So that's where we are. And now I think we should head to some questions. Do we have any questions coming in, Eddie?
We got tons of questions here. Thanks, everyone, again, for tweeting at us at Extra Points Pod, yes, at Jeff Pianchenti, at Edward L. Murphy. Good news for listeners and viewers. We are now also on Twitch. So your questions now, can you ask them through Twitch? We'll get them here on our stream, as well as our Extra Points Facebook and Extra Points YouTube account. So thanks again to everyone who's asking our questions. And we'll start off here. A question from Tony. With Cooper Kupp on bye this week and other injuries, who do I plug in at the 2 wide receiver spots? Christian Kirk, Alan Lazard, Rashad Bateman, or Williams?
So you've got 2 wide receiver spots?
Yes.
Okay, so I would still go Mike Williams. I'm assuming that's Mike Williams. Right. And then I would go Rashad Bateman.
All right. Next question here. Concern for Kyle Pitts owners, short week, likely no/limited Cordarrelle Patterson, Belichick's defense. Would you start Kadarius Toney or even Dearness Johnson over him as a flex in a PPR league? That question coming in from Oscar.
So Oscar, yeah, I have concerns about Kyle Pitts. I have concerns about Kyle Pitts on Thursday because Bill Belichick, just as you mentioned, takes out the number one receiver. And if there's no Cordarrelle Patterson and no Calvin Ridley, then that leaves Kyle Pitts. In addition, New England has only allowed 29.5 receiving yards to opposing tight ends all year, and something like I think it's a 52% catch rate to opposing tight ends. So then you might argue, oh, but he'll line up as a wide receiver a lot of the time. Okay, well, they've allowed like a 57.1% catch rate to wide receivers. So no, it's not a good matchup for Kyle Pitts. It's hard to sit him, but this is a flex spot. So yeah, I would probably try to take the upside. I mean, I don't think Dearness Johnson's going to, you know, Chubb's going to be back. I think he's going to rule that backfield. So I might take Kadarius Toney versus Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay's been better as of late. They have. But Kadarius Toney has some big play ability. So, you know, again, it's your call. I do not feel particularly comfortable starting Pitts in a flex. I would start him as a tight end, but as a flex, I just feel like there's probably other guys out there that are in line for a better week.
All right. A quarterback question here from Al asking to start between Tua, Russell Wilson, or Cam Newton.
I would actually go Cam Newton, as crazy as that sounds. I don't trust Russ Wilson yet. And it's a tough matchup versus Arizona at home. Arizona. It's not good.
19 hours of rehab in the finger, just not enough.
Yeah. You know what? The whole time, like, there were too many superlatives. This is the most miraculous healing of all time. It was as if Jesus came down and particularly blessed Russell Wilson's hand. There was no way he was going to have a big week. I'm sorry. I didn't start him anywhere. I stayed away from him. And I love Russell Wilson. I hope he's back. But until I see him look like he can, it really is as healthy as everyone claims. I can't start him. I need to see him connect. And, you know, and it's too bad because he and Tyler Lockett have been good versus Arizona. But I hate it. But it's true. I also like Tua. I like Tua versus the Jets. But Cam, I don't know. I just think he has a lot to prove. And the matchup's so, so good. And it's his former coach and all those storylines.
Yeah, Cam is back, as he screamed on national TV. going back to a Kyle Pitts question here from Tim. 10-team league, half-point PPR, 8 bench spots. My tight end's Kyle Pitts, only tight end on the roster. Both Dan Arnold and Logan Thomas are available on waivers. Would you pick up one of them for a best position for depth for the remainder of the year?
Yeah, if you have the room, go Logan Thomas.
Okay, there. Moving on. Next question here. Any breakout wide receivers not in the top 25 that could shine this week, like Agnew, need some help? His current wide receivers are facing a tough defense. And that's a question from our pal Amit.
Okay, so if you want to go, if you want to dig really deep, and we're talking outside top 25, we're probably talking outside top 50, it's Marcus Johnson for the Titans, because that that defense, that Houston defense, is incredibly generous to wide receivers. And we saw him have 100 yards. He got 5 of 6 targets last week. He was the most targeted wide receiver behind AJ Brown, and they're going to need that. And, you know, so I think Marcus Johnson's like your really long shot there. Otherwise, you know, Rashad Bateman, who we've mentioned multiple times, is a really good matchup with Chicago. And yeah, that's probably where I would go. I would probably go with one of those two. I think Jalen Waddle's another really good one. I'm not sure if he's probably already in the top 25 though.
All right. We got a question here surrounding Mr. Unlimited, who we're just talking about. What should I do with my Russell Wilson / Lockett stack? Half point PPR redraft league. Do I start either of them? Tannehill might be the only other viable option on my waiver wire. And this question is from Robert.
Well, Tannehill is in a really, really good situation. I would start Tannehill over Russell Wilson this week. I just don't trust Russell Wilson yet. But I would probably still start Lockett. I wouldn't worry too much about a stack in a weekly fantasy football league. That's kind of something I'd be more worried about in a daily or a DFS when you're really trying to take down a tournament. I wouldn't worry about splitting up those guys. And I would start Tannehill this week. I know it feels weird to say that, but I feel like he's in a better position.
Question here from Tom asking if it's worth picking up Zach Wilson as a bench QB over Cam Newton.
No, Cam Newton has so much more potential than Zach Wilson. And you know, Zach Wilson isn't even starting this week. Like he's still not quite come along all the way that to the point that we're going with Joe Flacco. So not encouraging.
We have another question from Amit here with receivers. Please pick one receiver from below for this week. Corey Davis, Emmanuel Sanders, Pittman, or Mooney. And this is a half-point PPR league.
I'm going to go Sanders. He's still seeing so many air yards. I know Diggs had the bigger week last week, but I'm going to go Sanders because the matchup's really juicy with Indianapolis.
Good question here with tomorrow's Thursday night game from El Tiburon. If Cordarrelle Patterson is active, should you play him?
Yes. If he's active, you play him. Like we were saying, though, he's superhuman if he's active. But I don't know how you don't play him. There's so many ways they may just put him in for a few trick plays that could pay off because he is their offense, basically.
Question from Steve P. Gaskins or Carter?
That's such a good question. That's a really, really good question. Okay, I like them both. If I have to pick one, I'm picking Gaskin because the Jets are just so abominable versus the run. I mean, it's just really almost comically bad. But the other side of this is really good too. I love Michael Carter. But again, Joe Flacco, we don't exactly know how it's going to go. So go Gaskin.
We have a question from Jeff here, but I believe you answered it. It's between Cam Newton or Russell Wilson for quarterback, but you're siding with Cam, right?
I would go with Cam. Yeah, I would go with Cam.
Trade question here. Should I trade Aaron Jones and Bateman for AJ Brown and Damian Harris? I have Chubb, Montgomery, Ingram, and Darrell Williams. Also have Evans, Antonio Brown, Beasley, and Robinson.
Yes.
All right. And the last question is what's the deal with Calvin Ridley? Guessing what should you do with Calvin Ridley if you have him on your roster still?
You know, I wish I knew what the deal was with Calvin Ridley, but he's going to be out at least one more week. And then we just don't know. And unfortunately, even when he was playing this year, it didn't quite look like he was in the right space. Now, maybe when he comes back from his break, he will be in a better space. But, you know, I would, if you can keep him on the IR, I would keep him because you never know. But probably he's lost to you for the season.
And that's it for questions. Thanks again, folks, for tweeting at Jen, at myself, at Extra Points Pod. And while you're also tweeting us questions and obviously liking, subscribing us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, also extrapoints.com/arcade. I think today is the last day to do the November prop quiz. A lot of fun questions, TV stuff, movies. And then obviously you have your NFL picks, NFL props, and college football picks. So please sign up for that. And sign up is free, name, email, and you get to win a gold Extra Points hat.
If you're listening to this podcast, please know that you can always join us live on Wednesdays on Twitter, YouTube, you know, Facebook, all those places we've mentioned, and you can type in your questions. So if you happen to be available at 5 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesdays and you can tune in, jump in with questions because we'll take them. Even if we have a guest, maybe I'll throw them to the guest too. You can get a couple of answers. We want to help you win your leagues. That's what we're here for at Extra Points. We're here to help you win money and embarrass your friends and family by helping you beat them down. That is our absolute goal. That is what we want to help everyone achieve. So please tune in. And if you can't, remember, you can always tweet us at Jen Piacente. I'll spell it at JenPiacente. I know probably nobody knows how to spell that when I say that. At Edward L. Murphy, which is spelled like anybody with common sense would spell it, because he has a normal name.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I have to pay Twitter for this, the at spaghetti handle. I got to figure that out. So.
You do. It would be so awesome if you could actually be at spaghetti. Like Prego would be mad.
Yeah, I know. I'd have a lot of pasta companies coming in.
How did he take our handle? Yes, and as Eddie mentioned, don't forget, go to extrapoints.com/arcade. Play with us. Make your NFL picks. I had the worst betting day of my entire life on Sunday. The absolute most embarrassing. I did not get like anything right. Seriously, it was terrible. I really hope that there returns a little bit of normalcy the next week or two, because it's becoming frustrating. Who are you picking for the Thursday night game, Eddie? Are you taking New England in the points, or are you expecting another crazy upset?
Look, we talked about this on -3 a few days ago with Hench and Damshek. Coming in this year, I wasn't like that sold in the Patriots. Like Mac Jones, I did like more than most, just from watching a ton in Alabama. And I thought people, you know, love saying, well, he played with really good players. It's like, well, yeah, you know who we went against in defense and practice? Also really good players who were in the NFL. Like, I believed in him, but I just didn't like the rest of the roster. But it seems like, you know, Matt Judon, great pickup on defense for them. Belichick, really, people forgot, like, he's still a good coach. Like, yeah, Brady left, Brady won, but Belichick is still great. And I think last year was just a weird year for them, and they're good. And, you know, with Atlanta, like we mentioned, Calvin Ridley's not going to be there. Cordarrelle Patterson's still banged up. I think I like the Patriots in this one.
I do, too. I'm nervous, though, because I just feel like every time I felt like, I mean, I was sure it was going to be Baltimore last week. And every time I'm just like, I feel like my heart's been crushed. So I hope that that reverses, because I do. I like the Patriots here. I actually find it odd that they're only favored by 6.5. When you start breaking it down and how these teams have been playing, like, it seems like it should be more. And that makes me wonder, is there something I don't get here? Do they know Cordarrelle Patterson is playing already? Maybe they do. The line has moved. It was 47.5. Now it's 47. Would you take the over or the under here?
Well, I mean, if Mac Jones is slinging touchdown passes left and right, if he throws for another 3 touchdowns, and, you know, Atlanta's defense isn't great, they'll score some points. I mean, fingers crossed if Patterson does play. I kind of like the over in this one.
Interesting. I took the under, but I mean, like, I can see it going either way. I kind of feel like they're on a short week. They may not come out as strong. Like, they'll score more points, maybe not as much. And Atlanta's just pathetic. I don't know. But who knows? I mean, I'm not actually betting the under. I'm just putting a mark. I'm putting a flag in case it happens, that I thought that that's what could happen, if I can take credit for it later. That's
fine.
Legal.
That's fine.
It is, right?
I'm totally with you, though. Let's get back to some normalcy, because the last few weeks have been tough picking against these spreads. And so let's just get it back to where, like, oh, the good teams are beating the bad teams. Okay,
Good teams, please try to beat the bad teams. That's what we're asking. That's all we're asking. Please, good teams beat bad teams. And speaking of good teams, your team, I'm sure, is a good team. If it's not a good team, we will help it become a good team. Remember, you can always tweet us at Extra Points Pod, at Jen Piacente, at Edward L. Murphy. We are here to help you. And in the meantime, we will be back next week for a Thanksgiving week episode. Probably also on Wednesday, but we will tweet out the exact schedule so that you guys can join in with your questions. And we will still be taking your questions, maybe a little bit shorter of an episode next week, but we will make sure that you are set up, because I know there are a lot of Thursday games. So there will be a lot of decisions to be made, and it's coming down the stretch. It's the most important time of the year. In the meantime, you guys all have a great week and enjoy the football.
Thank you.